I'm going to call the meeting to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, roll call.
John Steinbrink.
Here.
Monica Juhas.
Here.
Steve Komorkowicz.
Here.
Clyde Allen.
Here.
Mike Serbis.
Here.
Quorum being present. Item 4, minutes of the meeting for November 18, 2013, presented to board members in written form.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 5, citizens' comments.
We have one sign up tonight, Matt Phillips.
Good evening. I'm Matt Phillips from Senior Lifestyle Corporation in Chicago. Our address is 111 East Wacker Drive. Suite 2200, and we just received conceptual plan approval from the Plan Commission, and just wanted to introduce ourselves, and I think the next step is probably to be in front of your body for ultimately a conditional use permit and planned unit development. So I'm here to answer any questions you'd like about the proposed project. And if not, I just want to thank you for your time.
Thank you, Matt. Anyone else wishing to speak? Hearing none, I'm going to close citizens' comments. Move on to item 6, administrator's report.
Nothing tonight, Mr. President.
Moving on to item 7, unfinished business. Item 8, consider renewal application for Scotty's Mobile Home Park license.
Move to suspend on the table. Move the ticket off the table.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries.
That's me. As you will recall, last Monday, the board tabled consideration of Scotty's because they wanted an update on the pending building and zoning violations. And as my memo states, this is what I received from Ralph the last week. Of lot 13, lot 15, and lot 27, and I don't know if Gene's got more information on that. And there was also an email that I did place at your seat tonight, so we'll let Gene update you on those.
Members of the board and the audience, with respect to Scotty's Mobile Home Park, with respect to all of the items that were on our punch list of items, many of them were taken care of immediately. There were numbers placed on lots units 1 and 10. Lot number 27 had the skirting completed and the railing put around its deck to get into the unit. Lot 19, the window was replaced. The two units or lots that still had concerns or problems last week, they have been very aggressive in getting things taken care of. The first one of which, Lot 13, this particular unit, they have been out there and they have taken off the illegal porch and lean-to and other areas. They put new siding on it. They're not quite finished, but it's almost completed. I'm not sure if you had an opportunity to take a look at the email that was sent with respect to the siding. I know it looks like the siding's two different colors. It is. What they intend to do is get the last side up completed in the next few weeks, and then they'll be painting it in the spring. But it looks 100 times better than it did with respect to the unit, and they've cleaned up everything around it. So that should actually be done probably in the next 3 weeks, depending on weather and such. The second issue is with respect to lot 15. And with respect to the emails and conversations that I've had with G. John on that particular unit, the individual has actually gutted out the inside and has started to remove some of the parts on the inside as well. and he believes that they'll have it done by a Monday, a week from today. And I told him, I said, weather permitting, but he believes that they will have everything done and so that that unit can be removed before the end of the year. In addition, Rocco, our village assessor, has now removed a majority of the value of that particular unit, and I believe that that will take care of the value of that property when it's being removed before the end of the year.
Lot 27 in the stairs?
The lot 27, the stairs, that was the first one of the first ones I mentioned, that the stairs had been put up adjacent to the unit and a railing had been put around.
Since last Tuesday?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So
when,
I believe
they, when they say they're going to have it done, they mean removed, not just stripped out on the inside and redone for reuse.
My understanding is that it's going to be removed. Possibly Vince can add some additional comments with respect to that, but they were gutting it as of last week and this week.
So they are working to remove it from inside out?
That's my understanding. Isn't that correct? Maybe Vince could come up.
Vince, if you want to just clarify. And
here.
Just give us your name and address for the record. Hello.
Vince Ruffalo, 3805 13 Place. In respect to the lot, to the unit there, on lot, I think the lot in question you're talking about, Gene, that's been gutted out and it's going to be repaired now. I'm looking into fields. If we could remove something like that, we would remove it off the property, but I think it's being remodeled and being redone. Now, the question is, we know that. So the question is, by court or by court or by injunction, it has to be, you guys can put a technically condemn, and then it would have to be removed, if that would be the case. I've not been inside there, but my brother has. Apparently, what was the comment that he gave you, Gene? I think he's remodeling that, or that the owner went in there and redid it.
I have some photos. If you haven't seen some of the photos in there, but I mean, it was trashed pretty much on the inside.
Yep. See the whole something like that, obviously. I don't know. I'm dealing with talking to an attorney right now to see what kind of lien that we have in order to go in and take control of some of these mobile home parks that are like that in this condition. Because we do not own the so-called the housing. We own the land. They're renting the land. So I don't know to what condition. Either something like that we don't tolerate, and it's not something we want to see. But the question is, do we have the right to go in and put pressure and remove a mobile home housing? Now, that's where the trick of the trade is. Now, I just want to say one thing further. When we took over this mobile home park, there were drug addicts. They were alcoholic, infested with prostitution, and we cleaned it up. Now, the majority, 99%, they're working families. They have jobs at pizza place, gas stations. Now, their vision in life is not the same as ours. Otherwise, they would have a $600,000 home in Meadowdale. Their vision is a little different. So, We'll try very hard and work very towards getting this under control as best as we can. And obviously, we appreciate your input into this and give us ideas and so on. But along those lines, I think it's critical that some plan will be done, because a few years ago, I had an opportunity. There's three lots there. One of them is 3 acres in front, there's 2 acres in the back, and then there's probably another quarter of an acre or an half acre on the side, which gives a total of 5.5 acres. And a few years ago, I had a buyer that was willing to put up a dealership, but I couldn't convince the village at the time to combine the three because the back is designated as residential. The front is obviously the mobile home park, and then the side is also residential, which is next to the auto dealer. Well, now I think you've got a little strip mall on the side, on the west end of it. So from this standpoint, it's vital. How are we going to approach this? Because it'll come every year, and obviously I don't like it no more than you do. The question is if we should long-term and short-term plan, and obviously the short-term plan is you cannot, what are we going to do with those individuals that live there? And, you know, obviously you have the right not to renew the license, but on the other hand, what are we going to do with those people? That's the question comes in. We are working very, as Gene said, we took a very severe action. We worked very diligently to go ahead and get this in place and get to correct some of these so-called violations. And it's not that we're correcting them. We're making the individuals who owned the mobile home correct it. But, again, the point I'm trying to make is that we're not dealing with individuals that so-called motto, University of Wisconsin-Madison Law School, with the only individuals that they look at life totally different. So we're working very hard and very diligently. You also can help us from that standpoint because obviously they pay taxes and you tax them and on the mobile home. And if you condemn a mobile home, then obviously, yeah, then I guess from that standpoint, it could be removed. But until then, it can be removed. You know, so these are the issues that I think that, and as I mentioned to some of you, I would like to, as prime property, like to look at long-term and short-term some type of consent because I don't know what direction the village wants to move. If the village wants to say, look, we're not into the mobile home park. We want to abolish that and eventually put them aside and bring in some more commercial and high-end residential. But that's great. I'm all for that. The question is, how are we going to approach this? That's the question. What direction are we going to go? I think those people have a right to have some type of home in their means. And in order for me or you or anyone to say, look, you have some type of a junk car in front of the house and that's got to go. Well, in your eyes or my eyes, it's not good, and I agree. But on the other hand, you got to look to see who we're looking at. You know, if they're repairing their car in front of their home or on the mobile home, and obviously they wouldn't do that in Meadowdale, but they do it in that particular scenario. So the whole thing is how are we going to, as a village and also as a business owner, how are we going to approach this so everybody can be on the same page and also be kind enough and gentle enough that we gradually find a way for these folks to find a home, not to be kicked in the street and be kicked on the curb of the road. So these are the issues. And we try very hard to kind of, you know, look at them, how to improve them. But then you only get so far. Those of you who have dealt with so-called the individuals that with that kind of mentality.
Vince, maybe a quick question. You spoke of an opportunity you had at one time. Mm-hmm. If another opportunity was arise to do something else with this property, what would be your procedure to go through to allow it to happen in a timely time when you have these units all on there? What would be the timeline? What would you have to do in order to make the land available for development?
Well, I think the reasonable amount of time would be that And if you have a developer coming in, and you and the village will go along and combine the three lots, the three so-called identities, and you would have another scenario like we had a few years ago. Then you have what? We have the people that have been living there for some time. I think it's only appropriate to give them at least a 6 months notice to say within 6 months you're going to be, this park will be demolished, no longer be a park, and then we expect you to find yourself another area that you can bring your mobile home to. And at the same time, I believe that we go ahead and maybe give them some ideas and give them some feedback where they can go to and not go to there, because there's parks in the area that they would accept.
I guess legally, how much time do you have to give them notice-wise?
I don't know. Then I don't have the answer. I guess you want to... I'm a true believer. Not only you go legally, but also you want to go above and beyond that, because... it's only fair to those.
We've been talking about timelines for trailers like Lot 15 and not being able to do anything with it because you can't find the owner.
Correct.
Or so,
like I mentioned to you, I talked to my attorney, and basically they said, as long as you have to go through the processes, there's all processes you have to foreclose on it. Somewhere along the line, the courts has to order you to go ahead and remove it. I don't know what kind of... The process could be lengthy.
So that would be the same process then for if you were going to develop the property for something else? Then.
Well, not necessarily, because then I think you could do is you could make an announcement to say that the park will be closed effective six months, 8 months down the road. And... these are areas that you're going to have to move. You have to move from here, and they'll say first thing. Question is, where am I going? Do you have any leads? Well, maybe we can go ahead and give them some leads that there'll be parks in the area that they're accepting mobile homes. You know, then it's up to them to move it. Then if they do not move it, then obviously then you have to take other actions accordingly. But I believe you have to give them at least what the law requires. And I don't have that number, unless one of you would know, but I don't have that number. But it's something that, and John, in regard to the whole picture, is it's a process.
Okay.
You know, so in the meantime, we're going to continue keeping it up best we can. Like I said, we went from a park that was full of drug addicts, alcohol, prostitution, people, and we cleaned it up to people that at least have jobs and they're working. So.
Okay. Any other questions for Vince? Mike?
I guess, the village ordinance requires that park management maintain the park, and that the owners are required to maintain their dwellings in a livable standard. The problem we've had is that that action and that it's a responsibility of the park management to ensure through the rental contracts for the lease of the space that's the mobile homeowner's responsibility to do that, and that's the park management's responsibility to enforce that. Now, nobody on this board and nobody from the village staff has said, we want to get these type people out. That's not our goal. Our goal is that dwellings cannot be allowed to exist in such a rundown condition that for the working people that you describe that are living in that area, they shouldn't have to put up with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the problem is that this problem arises at the 11th month every year, where it's a big surprise that all of a sudden there's, a unit that isn't in good shape. The village cannot condemn the mobile homes. We cannot condemn personal property on leased land. We can condemn real estate. We can condemn the dwelling on a real estate. But we can't condemn a mobile unit that's valued as a lease as personal property. and it's on land that they're leasing. So that's why the statutes and the ordinance are geared to give that responsibility to the park management, and the park management's responsibility is to administer that through the lease. And so to the extent that whatever you're the one that executes the lease with the people, so if you give them 1 month's notice through the lease, or you give them 2 months or 3 months, whatever that is, that's between you as the park management and them as the people that are going to park their personal property on the lease, on the lease land, and then that's what makes it happen. That's why a mobile home park operator gets the privilege of having densities at that higher level. They get the benefits of having a park that you can't typically put into existing residential. So this village board cannot sit there and condemn a home. We'd have better luck saying that it was an unlicensed home and that we could tow it off as we would a trailer or a car on private property. But that's not our responsibility. That's your responsibility. And your contracts have to, I'm assuming that your attorney has drafted contracts for you that's giving you that leverage to make that happen, because you're the only one who can do it. Our only tie in this situation is for you to keep a licensed mobile home park. You have to live up to those conditions within the statutes and within the mobile home park ordinance, because that's our connection to you. So these issues out there that live out there, that create out there, are the responsibility of management that have allowed it to go to this point. And if it had just been an issue that cropped up, but every year it's we kind of go through the same thing where we're right at the end of the year and we need more time, the ground's frozen, we can't put asphalt in. It just, and this happens every year. And I think that whoever you got working for you out there, if it's got to take a more interested outlook in managing this thing and making sure that it operates well, because I agree with you. There's a lot of people out there that, they're probably not making a lot of money. And that's not their fault, that's not our fault, but that's the way it is. But they don't deserve to live next to somebody that's devaluing their property because it's out there. And that's who's getting hurt, the people you're talking about, by letting these bad units exist out there. So if they can get that thing done by the end of the year, you'd be in compliance. There'd be no issue with the license for the park. I mean, that's where it is. But we can't... As you indicated, we can't condemn a property because we just don't have the legal authority to do that. And for me to condemn something, I have to, the government's going to exercise their, probably one of the strongest powers they have, is to take property away from somebody, mm-hmm. the dirt that they own and the improvements on it, and say that this now belongs to us and we're going to give you some money to go someplace else. We can't, I don't think this board would do that. We can't do that. We legally can't do that because you own the property. It's like we'd have to condemn your property. And then they would be the relocation.
Mike, their rule was put in by the statute. If somebody goes into a property and happens to dump a trailer or a mobile home park or mobile home or a car or whatever, that you can do. Long as they're paying a rent and that individual pays his rent, but we're told that you have no right to go in and tell them, says you got to move. Or you got to take it out. Now, the statute also calls for that the village has certain ordinance. The village can impose on the mobile home to say you have to keep it so long. You can issue an informing piece of paper saying this is your violation of X, Y, and Z. But what I've seen going on, Mike, is this, that a lot of times we can go in any mobile home park, any one of them, and I guarantee you we'll find an issue. We'll find an issue. I mean, it's in the eyes of the beholder, a lot of times. Some of these issues that were in the picture I saw and some like that, yes. But how am I going to go and say, all right, this is trash, I'm going to go tie a chain to it, and I'm going to pull it out of there? That's what is required.
No, what I'm saying is that surely you must have something in your leases that doesn't permit this to exist.
The lease basically is totally in accordance to the ordinance of the village.
Nope, the lease is accorded to the rights of you as a property owner that own the real estate property.
Correct.
And the rights of that mobile homeowner who owns personal property. That's, we have no rights in that agreement.
But you're the one that has the rights. I cannot go in the property and then inside the facility.
But does your lease permit this?
Does not. Does not mean go into their home.
So they violated their lease. If it doesn't
in their home, I can't go in. I can't go on the outside and says you gotta move your car. Your car is in the way. We're in certain areas. You know, and I believe me, it's not something that we condone and do that. And we try very diligently and very, very hard to kind of make sure we encourage them to live and repair their technically their home. See, I'm not repairing it. They're repairing their own. And we stand there and over says, then if you come to the point, it's okay. Then legally you have to take legal action to go ahead and do that. And that's a lengthy process to do that. I mean, the point I was trying to make is that the village has, because they pay taxes. The mobile home pays taxes to the village. So the village could it condemn the property? Well, they could say, and I don't know that if it can be done or not. The question is, how are we going to go about? And we work very, from my standpoint, we work very diligently on it. And if we see a car that doesn't belong there, well, it gets towed away because the roadway and everything else around. The question is, you're going to go in. How are you going? We're going to go about and do that. We can encourage them. We can work at it. We can go ahead. And there's been a situation where we walked in. There was a tree that fell on one of them not too long, maybe a year or so ago. The guy said he was going to fix it. You know, he was never fixed. We finally said, look, you got to fix. You got to repair this. You got to repair this porch. So we'll stay on top of it. But again, the point is, the whole thing is that I agree. I'm not disputing what you're saying. I'm just saying to you that it's a very touchy subject, especially when you're dealing with like you said, it's a low income, and it's people that look at life totally different than you and I do. And it's just, you know, the question is, I'm willing to look at a solution for the long term, to see what can be done about and maybe bring it. It's prime land. I'd like to see something else for myself.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Mike?
Right now, I think the issue tonight is the letter that was sent that we have to address on these mobile homes and condition of them. As I understand it, Vince, number 15 is being dismantled and it's going to be removed, according to conversation I had with your brother.
Okay.
The inside is almost done. You're going to start working on the outside. If we don't renew the license, the people don't get evicted. The fines start daily. And those fines are like $625 or something like that a day. I'm not too sure. So, and I want to avoid that. I don't want to see that happen. But I think, Mike, you hit it right in the head. I think a better effort has to come from the person that you have overseeing that park. Superintendent of the park, whatever you want to call them, that person should be made a little bit more aware of what's required and what has to be done to get the license renewed every year. Now, if everything that has been noted on the letter has been addressed, or almost addressed, with the exception of number 15, which is in the works, then I would say that we can approve the license subject to that number 15 being totally removed from the park by the end of the year. And if it's not, then the fines are going to have to start. But I'm confident that trailer will be gone.
Steve, you know, I got a question here for you. Evidently, appears to me that you lease the land to put a mobile home. Now, you don't have terms and conditions for the lease of that piece of property, do you?
No.
And I think that's the root of the whole problem.
The
because we cannot put a solution to that. When it's your property, and when you sign a lease, I signed a lease for property in the city years ago, and there were terms and conditions. Told me what I have to do or what I couldn't. Evidently, you don't have nothing like that.
Correct.
So don't try to send it to us now to take care of the problem, because the problem is yours. No. So what I hear right now is you try to say, you, no, wait a minute, don't say you, say we, okay? Because it's not our problem, it's yours.
I didn't see it was your problem. Second
okay. Trustee Serpy has asked that we stick to the...
We have to stick to the letter.
To the letter
to
here.
The agenda.
And as long as we're agreed that 13 is going to be redone and we can see the process there, 15, that is going to be removed, I guess.
And is that right, Mike? That's what's going to be removed?
15, yeah. John said 15 is going. I don't think you're collecting any rent on 15 anymore.
I
would be surprised
not.
If you are.
Okay. Well, 15 was going to be given away anyhow to somebody. So.
Right. So the only thing we need from you, Vince, is a commitment that 15 will be removed before the end of the year. And if that happens, your license goes for another year.
Before the end of the year? Before this end, the end of this month?
It has to be gone before the end of the month.
This month?
Yes.
It's already being dismantled.
So
inside.
It?
All right.
Right.
Well, you got it from my brother. From my,
yeah,
I mean,
John said it's going to be gone. Okay.
Mike?
I would make a motion to approve the license subject to trailer number 15 being totally removed from the park by the end of the year.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Monica. Any further discussion?
Yes. Other thing I'd like to see, a license for a year. I'd like to see give them a license for 3 months or 6 months. Another
but right now it's subject to this being done by the end of the year.
So yeah, but if he comply with that, we're going to give a whole year start over again. I got a problem with that.
I wouldn't recommend that. I wouldn't. If he's complying with the letter, then I think we ought to give him a year.
The motion's so far. We'll take a vote on that. Clyde.
Thank you, Mr. President. The problem I have with allowing a license for another year, even if they do remove this unit number 15, is if you look at lot 13, how in the world does that even allow to happen? Every
That's
year,
enough.
I understand, but I'm saying every year it seems that we come up with these issues that we have a unit that does not look very good, and 13 should not occur. That just should not occur. I understand. I agree with you wholeheartedly. These people have a different vision in life. They're low income. They're working pizza places. They're working gas stations. God bless them. I hope they can make things work the best they can. But 13 should not occur. 15 should just not occur. But every year this does occur. And somebody's got to watch out to say 13 should not happen. That is visible to everybody in the world.
Mr. Allen, I agree with you. Mr. Allen, the question, again, as I stated, we can go ahead and put a sign tomorrow. What do you do with those folks? What? Again, I'm open. I'm open for ideas. I really am open for ideas.
Okay, we had the discussion last week on 13, 15. Shouldn't 27 should have been skirted. That wasn't. That was a whole year. The issue before us is the motion. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
No. Motion carries 3-2.
Thank you.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 8, new business. First item being item 8, receive the Planning Commission recommendation, consider a conceptual plan for the proposed senior lifestyle community generally located south of Prairie Ridge Boulevard and east of 97th Court within the Prairie Ridge development. Jean?
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a request for the conceptual plan for the senior lifestyle project. We don't have the slides. They were you had seen them at the Plan Commission hearing earlier this evening. The petitioner is proposing to develop 9-acre site for 162 senior housing unit development with two phases. Phase one will include 96 units. Phase two will include 66 units. The senior housing community will include central dining facilities, multi-purpose rooms, fitness center, arts and crafts. As part of their monthly fees, residents will have access to meals and other services such as housekeeping, linen services, transportation, recreation, recreational, other type of services for the facility. Again, this is a senior development that's proposed to be located west of the senior housing project that VK developed a number of years ago, south of Prairie Ridge Boulevard between 96th Avenue and 97th Court. The petitioner specifically is requesting a conceptual plan approval this evening. The next steps in their approval process will be a conditional use permit, a planned unit development to address any dimensional variations to their project, as well as the detailed site and operational plans related to that conceptual plan. Specifically, the developer had presented at the Plan Commission meeting a series of illustrations and drawings as to how the facility was to be laid out. These are plans that we've been working on for several months with the village staff, along with the fire department, police department. Others have seen them that show us exactly what is being proposed. Again, it's intended to be a three-story facility. They're looking for a maximum height of 45 feet, which would be a 10-foot variation from the ordinance. Again, that will be addressed at a separate point by the Village Plan Commission and the Village Board with the public hearings. They have adequate parking for the facility. They might need a slight modification for the second phase. Again, that will be part of the PUD. One of the biggest concerns that was raised at the Village Plan Commission meeting is that there are a number of private and public improvements that were completed. Some were completed, some were not, surrounding this development. We received an engineer's cost estimate to complete the public and private improvements for this entire area, and we do need to review that estimate to make sure that the letter of credit on file with the village is still adequate in order to complete those public improvements and private improvements, as well as those in subsequent phases that this particular developer is not going to be completing at this time. The staff and the Plan Commission recommended approval. We still have some things to work out with, a little bit with the architecture and some of the building materials and such, but it's all spelled out in the staff comments, which they have agreed to all the comments and conditions at the Plan Commission meeting.
Is that what the project is?
Yeah, no. if you'd like, we could go through and pull up the slides real quick.
Sure. Everybody was
here. We're all here. So. We're here, yes.
Exact same slides as previously shown.
I would concur with the Plan Commission's recommendation to move approval of the conceptual plan.
Second.
I'd also like to add that, you know, the caveat on the letter of credit.
And that'll come through with the developer's agreement?
That's correct. There'll be a developer's agreement. Yes.
Okay, sure. Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Caveat by Mike. And everybody was here and did see the presentation. Yes. Thank you for the presentation during the planning commission. Motion second, further discussion. Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carried. Thank you, gentlemen. Item B is to consider the purchase of comprehensive backup and storage units for the Information Technology Department.
Mr. President, members of the board, good evening. Office of Information Technology is requesting approval to purchase three devices that will significantly improve the reliability and performance of the village's data backup environment and data storage environment. The storage right now that we have is approximately 10 years old. It's at least 2 years out of its end of life, past its end of life. The backup devices that we are using are tape devices. The newest one is still a viable environment, and we would redeploy that in other means. The other devices that we use for backup are older technology and would most likely look at selling those aftermarket if we can. The first device that we'd be looking for is a storage area network. Basically, it's a cabinet that has a lot of hard drives in it, solid-state drives, newer technology, manufactured by Fusion I.O. This device would sell for a total of $58,600. That's including 5 years of maintenance for the price of 3 years if we pay for this all at one time. The storage for that will provide us plenty of growth with at least 3 to 5 years into the future based on what we currently have as well as what we're estimating with the newer programs that we're bringing on board, such as Munis for finance and human resources. The other two devices are the backup devices, which are manufactured by Unitrends. One device would be located here in the village, most likely at Prang. The second device would be located downtown at the Kenosha County Data Center. That would become our disaster recovery device. So should something happen to the Prang building itself or that backup device, we could always fail over to the one that's at Kenosha County, and we would have our data safe and secure in that building. Those two devices together, at the time that I had put this together, totaled $52,573.92. Since this, I had secured another $4,000 off of that. So tonight, again, we are asking for authorization to purchase one Fusion IO N5-100 storage area network for the one-time cost of $58,600 with no recurring annual maintenance for 5 years. We are asking for authorization to purchase two Unitrends RC-824 appliances for a one-time cost of $52,573.92. And a recurring annual maintenance beginning January 1 of 2015 of $7,780.92.
I have a question, Dacha. How does this come in compared to the budget?
We've got room in the budget, you know, for this, and the bid prices, as you can see, you know, on the storage it was pretty tight, but for the backup. There was one that was smaller, but it was 24 terabytes versus 32, so it didn't get done what we need to get done. So this will come in under budget.
Under budget?
Yeah.
Clyde?
Thank you. Just a clarification. You had mentioned the storage, the purchase of the storage unit was $58,600, and you mentioned that it was five-year maintenance. Our screen shows three-year maintenance.
Is that the cost of 3 years?
The incentive that we get is a 5 years of maintenance for the cost of 3 years. Mm-hmm. So in other words, we pay for what 3 years would cost, but we get 5 years out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. So moved.
Second.
Motion by Monica, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item C, consider construction management services agreement for the proposed fire station number one project.
Mr. President, I'm proposing that the village enter into an agreement with Riley Construction to provide construction manager services for the reconstruction of station one. And the construction managers, just to follow up, is, you know, they're involved in the beginning, helping make sure that the design that's prepared is going to be cost-effective from a construction standpoint, that the village is getting the best dollar we can. And then they'll provide that service all the way through the completion of the project. Because, in this case, Riley Construction will be the construction manager, they do not get access to the bidding. They don't get an automatic selection for work to be done. They have to, all work that's on the project, whether it's electrical, plumbing, masonry, whatever, if they want to do that work, they have to competitively bid with everybody else. And the village awards those bids. So the bid documents, the plans, and specifications are prepared by the architect. Now, Riley's, you know, they make sure that they're right, but they don't get access to any of the contract work unless they the low bidder. The example on at Recplex and at the Aqua Arena and at the rehab of the police station, there were some items that Riley was not the low bid on, and they didn't get that work. So who ends up actually doing our work will be a process of the public bidding process. The charge for this is 2% of the total project cost. There are some additional fees that would take place if we had them do additional work above and beyond that, where we were going to, if you're going to use their equipment, use their trucks, use any of their construction equipment, and helping get the job done is at a price, but the basic work is at 2%. And that's one of the reasons we're getting that is a good rate. That's probably 2% lower than others. They've done a lot of work from us, and they've been a trusted advisor for the village on construction projects, and we've had really good success with them. And that's what I'd recommend, that we authorize my administrator to execute a contract with Riley Construction for the reconstruction of relocation of Station 1.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Clyde. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item D, Resolution 13-28, relating to an amendment to the 2013 budget.
Mr. President, Finance Director is recommending that we authorize a fund transfer between categories, which requires board approval. In this case, municipal court revenues have exceeded projections by $6,436, and that to produce that, we spent more money in salaries, some consultant services for jail fees, printing, credit card processing fees, and liability insurance had increased. So the net change to the budget is zero, but since we need to make a transfer between revenues to expenditures to fund that out. So I'm requesting that the board authorize Resolution 1328.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Monica. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item E, consider a partnership agreement between the Recplex Wisconsin Juniors Volleyball Club.
Mr. President, Recplex has entered into an agreement, a five-year agreement, with the Wisconsin Juniors Volleyball Club, which is a girls' volleyball club. And Carol, go for it.
Mr. President, what the Recplex is looking for is to continue the agreement that we have with the Wisconsin Junior Volleyball Club. We've been had a successful partnership with them for the past 8 years. They have brought the level of volleyball that the girls and some young women that goes up to the age of 18. The volleyball that they produce out there is pretty phenomenal. And we have been extremely happy with our relationship with them and would like to extend it for an additional 5 years. So with that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Otherwise, the Recreation Department is requesting that you authorize this agreement.
Motion to approve.
Second. Motion by Clyde, second by Steve for approval. Any further discussion?
Carol, real quick, just how many teams do they have out there?
Oh, I wish I could answer that for you. I can't. They are out there 5 nights a week, for anywhere from 2 to 4 hours a night. They start from, third graders and go up through high school.
So how many courts do they use usually, typically on a weeknight?
I'm sorry, what?
They use about three or four courts.
Starting after the first of the year, they'll have their Sunday volleyball tournaments. Some of them have eight courts. They have the President's Day weekend that they take all the entire field house. It's pretty impressive to watch them play, some of the ladies. And a lot of them go on to play college ball. So if I had to guess, I would say probably 20, 25 teams.
Impressive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Trustee Serpy said the board's willing to take them on, whoever feels
hey, maybe we could do that as a charity event.
Yeah. Quite charitable.
Yes.
We had a motion, a second, I believe. Any further discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item 9, Village Board comments.
I have one.
Mike.
We had a good year. The village had a good year this year. I think our services were as good as they ever been. I think in spite of the cuts that we always have to endure from the state every year, we managed to continue to supply good services to the people. And with that, I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and see you in 2014.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion by Clyde, second by Monica. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries.